On today's episode, we welcome a longtime friend of mine and finance guru Ryan Law on the show. He shares some great insights on topics related to money personalities, financial infidelity, and some key tips for a healthy money marriage. Ryan Law is the director of the Utah Valley University Money Success Center. He's an award-winning educator who teaches the financial counseling courses as part of the Personal Financial Planning Program at UVU. Ryan is a certified financial planner professional and an accredited financial counselor. He's the author of the books Student Loan Planning, Make Positive Changes, and co-editor of the book Financial Counseling. Ryan and his wife, Tracy, have been married for 24 years, and they live in Utah County with their five children. You can discover more resources Ryan has created on his website, money-marriage.com. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection. Glad to have you with us. We're glad to be with you. I'm Dr. Dave here at Utah State University, alongside Dr. Liz Hale, and we are bringing you the very best research and resources and tips and tools to help you have the marriage of your dreams. All right, Liz, super excited for our guest today. He is a good friend I met at the University of Missouri some. We were talking earlier about 15 years ago. So a great friend, an amazing family. And man, this guy is one of the best experts in the country when it comes to money. So welcome to the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast, Ryan Law.
Thanks, Dave. And thanks, Liz. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so excited. I love our topic today. We're focused on communicating about money, including transparency. We're going to talk about financial infidelity, if you've ever heard about that. And I've actually conducted a little bit of research in this area on newlyweds and their common struggles and their problem areas. And nearly every survey, including the one that I did with newlyweds, suggests that money is one of the top areas of conflict, of disagreement, of these arguing and fights. They tend to say that money rises to the top. So tell us more about that. Why is that, right? Why is money tend to be in one of the top three areas of struggles?
Yeah, the research really does tell us that people don't talk about money. They fight about it. That's what couples do. In fact, a lot of couples say that money is one of their biggest struggles. You just said it was one of the top three struggles that married couples have. And that's what the research shows as well. So we know that money is one of the leading cause of marriage arguments, and those arguments tend to lead to divorce in a lot of those cases. So we also know that when people argue about money, they tend to use harsher language and a stronger tone, which is, you know, code for yelling. So a lot of people, they get in these discussions about yelling, and it's not a discussion. They're yelling back and forth. They're accusing each other. So we know that a lot of people are having trouble and they're having conflict in their marriage when it comes to money. And we know that there's a quote that says divorce is the greatest risk factor facing an individual's, couple's, or a family's financial well-being. So this conflict and these arguments about money, they can truly have a detrimental effect on the marriage as a whole.
It's a hot topic. Mm. Without a doubt. Yeah, and you that. And many sure. experts, Ryan, will talk about money personalities, that we're born with them and that even our environment further shapes them. Let me tell you what I really appreciate about you. My husband and I have taken several money personality tests, and I always get a little discouraged because it's typically, you know, I'm a spender, he's a saver. It doesn't really give us enough information. And I'm just so grateful for you turning us towards one of your favorite money personality quizzes, and that's the money habitudes. I loved it. I was really impressed for the first time. Ben and I are on the same page with one exception. Can I just tell you what it is? You can tell me what you first think. All right. So we both were planners and we're givers. And the only exception is that I love spontaneity. I like to enjoy the moment. And that, boy, does that ever show up in our marriage. What would you, if you were my therapist, our therapist, what would you say maybe is just a little bit of a warning with that one caveat of spontaneity? I love it. I think I might have had 4 stars. He had 1 star.
Okay. Yeah. Let's back up a little bit, because your money habits and it's your money attitudes. And this is just one personality type quiz. There's lots of other ones out there. This is one of my favorites. because it's done as a card game. And so that you're able to like shuffle cards into different decks. You're like, oh, this isn't me or this is me. So going to your question, Liz, what I would say is that having some of those similarities up front is really good. And none of these habitudes are bad. And that's important. You mentioned spontaneity. That's not a bad thing at all to have some spontaneity when it comes to your money, because you've also got giving. You've also got saving. There's other things in there where you are taking good care of your money. So I would say that it's not bad that you're spontaneous at all. But here's what this quiz has done for your marriage and can do for others as well, is that you now have awareness of each other. So you are aware of your husband's money personality, what things tend to be strongest for him. He's aware of yours. So when that spontaneity comes up, he can be like, oh yeah, Liz is more spontaneous than I am when it comes to money. And so just that simple awareness can have such a great effect on a marriage.
That's interesting. And that's where patience comes in, right? For both of us, because I find him resistant a little bit and he finds me probably a little too carefree, even though I know that that's a different category, but I'm sure he sees me that regard. And we'll put that money habitudes in our, Dave, what's it right. called? Where can people go, Dave?
Yeah. Oh, our show notes, man. Our we'll put everything notes. In our show notes.
Put it all in the show notes. Sounds good.
All right. Well, I love it. Thank you again for turning us towards that.
And now, as you know, our podcast focuses on helping couples create and maintain a stronger marriage connection. And we share tips and tools to help couples have a healthy relationship. What are the essential ingredients, would you say, Ryan, for a healthy money relationship?
Yeah, let's back up a little bit and kind of continue with, you know, with that question, but also continue with Liz's a little bit. So let's just talk about money personalities to start in a little bit more detail. So let me tell you how I define a money personality. So I see it as your money beliefs, your habits, your attitudes, your mindset, the values and the rules that you tend to follow when it comes to money. So that's a lot of things coming together all at once, lots of different things. And it's going to be each one of those things is going to be different from your spouse. Even within the same family, you're going to have a different money personality from your parents, from your siblings. But definitely once you bring that partner into a marriage, all of those things are going to be different. And so that's important to recognize up front as well. So we develop our money personality from a number of different places. I would say some of the key factors are your family of origin, your religion, and then the experiences that you have as well. Your money personality really affects everything that you do with money. So it's how you earn, it's how you save, how you spend, how you invest your money. All of those things come into play when it comes with your money personality. So let me give you an example. You might have a belief that money is meant to be saved, and your spouse might have a belief that money is meant to be enjoyed now, that spontaneity side versus saving for the future. These conflicting beliefs can easily lead to arguments or conflict down the road. Another example, maybe somebody gets a bonus at work and one spouse wants to use that money to take their family to Europe and the other one wants to add the money to their retirement account. Again, differing beliefs about this money and how it should be used. And that's the different personalities coming together. So certainly knowing your own money personality is key. But I also think it's so important to understand your spouse's money personality as well. So the money habitudes is a great exercise. Like I mentioned, there's other ones out there as well. But simply setting aside some time to talk about money can be so important. And I like to ask questions and really listen to those answers. So questions might be things like, what messages did you hear about money while you were growing up? Yeah. What is your most joyful money memory? What's your most painful money memory? What's your greatest financial fear? These are great conversation starters where you don't even need, you know, any personality quiz or anything to start out and just talking with your spouse about these things. And one last caveat on that, this is a great opportunity for you to just listen and then to validate your spouse. Like if they're talking about their most painful money memory, validate them and say, wow, that must have been really tough to go through. So that's such an important thing to do when it comes to your money personality.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, go ahead, Liz.
No, please, Dave, you're on.
No, would you say that discussing this earlier, the better, Ryan? It feels like that, you know, this newlywed or you're dating, you're engaged. I mean, there's probably never a wrong time, but it feels like that there's this underlying, or can be, there's underlying tension. It's almost something taboo, a topic we don't really want to talk about because we don't want to, because it leads to an argument or something. But where would you say is a, ideal time to really talk about money personalities?
I think the ideal time is before you get married, when you're in that engagement stage, going through maybe some other pre-marriage counseling. I think pre-marriage counseling, when it comes to money, it's a heavily overlooked area. It's just not something we do. We'll talk about intimacy and other things before marriage, but what about money and what about combining finances and all these different things that come with marriage? However, having said that, I've been married for, 24 years, and we still have these conversations. So today is the right day, whether you're engaged, you've been married for 1 year, 24 years, 30 years, whatever the case is, today is the right day to start having these conversations.
Do you feel that some of our personalities on this, I know we're born with a certain personality, regarding money personalities, do we change a little bit through the years, Ryan? Have you changed in these 24 years? Congratulations on your long-term marriage. That's really something to celebrate, by the way.
Thank you.
Do we change?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Education, experiences, all of those things come into play when it comes to changing our money personalities. A lot of us don't talk about money a lot in our homes. And that's not our parents' fault. They didn't talk about money either growing up. And so as we learn more, as we experience more, maybe we go through some hard times financially, we do a little bit better financially. All of these things affect our money personality. And so it's important to be able to recognize those things and recognize how those might be changing our beliefs. So yes, definitely they can change over time.
So interesting, Dave. I don't know what you heard, the message you heard growing up, but I remember distinctly one main message, and that was from my mother, and that was Elizabeth. I'm always Elizabeth when I'm in trouble. You're in for a rude awakening when it comes to money. So clearly I didn't have a very good concept. I'm hoping I'm a little bit better now, but I appreciate you saying we've changed. Just recently, my husband said to me, do you remember when we first got married and you said, okay, let's have this agreement that we'll check in with each other if we're going to buy something over X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's like, I vaguely remember that conversation.
Right.
And I've changed, honey. I no longer really want to have that agreement, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We talk about a little bit about infidelity in marriage, and I work a fair amount with infidelity, and we don't always hear, however, about financial infidelity.
Yeah.
I made a little mistake on this, Ryan. I think Dave certainly knows, and listeners, about, sometimes I don't use a particular credit card. It's actually been a long time. I really have repented on this guy. But a specific American Express would always ding his phone every time I would use it out and about. And I just sometimes would want to delay the conversation, so I'd use a different credit card. But that really was a form of infidelity, of not keeping my word. So I happily now just say, I'm just going to bite the bullet. So I always use the American Express. Anyway, that's, I think, a minor level of infidelity. And there's major financial infidelity as well. Tell us.
Yeah. So financial infidelity, it's basically lying to your spouse about money. And there's research that shows that up to 40% of married couples have committed financial infidelity at some point in their married lives. In fact, 20% of people on anonymous surveys, they admit spending more than $500 and hiding it from their spouse. So common areas, how much a purchase cost, hiding accounts, hiding debt, hiding a credit card, or having a credit card in your own name that the spouse doesn't know about. All of these are forms of financial infidelity. And just like sexual infidelity, it can be hard to build that trust up because it destroys trust, just like any other type of infidelity would. So this financial infidelity destroys that trust, and it can be hard to build that back up over time.
Ouch. And yet couples do. They can.
They can. Absolutely. Right? Yes. And they should. Being open and being totally honest with your spouse is one of the most important things you can do. Coming clean to them and saying, hey, this is what's happened. This is why it happened. And so letting them know and then talking about that. So being completely open and honest, that starts to build that trust back up.
Being impeccable with your word. That really is my motto when it comes to this. Yeah, good for you. Thank you.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in. So yeah, so financial infidelity can just, I mean, it can eventually even wreck relationships. So tell us a little bit about that. What goes into building this healthy, you know, money relationship? Are there some things that happy, healthy, you know, relationships are doing with their money? And if so, what are those things?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we can talk about here. But first, I think it's vital and so important that at least once a month, we talk about money with our spouse. So we talk about the budget, we talk about debt, goals, progress towards goals, any other discussions that you want to have about money. When it comes to talking about money, I'm going to go back to a quote from Stephen R. Covey. He says, seek first to understand, then be understood. So your goal here is to really listen to your spouse carefully, to try to understand their perspective on these things, and then you share yours as well. But yeah, having that monthly meeting where you know you're getting together and you're calm. This is not a meeting that you have during high tension times or anything like that. This is maybe you go out to a nice restaurant, you find a booth somewhere where you can sit and talk about these things. And you just have a discussion about it, and you check in with everything going on financially, how things are going, where you can improve. And this can make such a difference in a marriage. So that's one key factor that I would recommend to couples.
And we're just, there's so much to it. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was thinking.
We're both so excited about this topic.
I know. Yeah. I was just like, right, man. Yeah. Have you got 3 hours, Ryan? Because we have all kinds of questions. for my wife and I, we tend to do that. We try to do that on the first Sunday of the month. We just get together. We use Quicken. So having some type of a system where, you know, I'll get on and we'll actually reconcile, because it's almost exciting. I know it sounds kind of nerdy. It's almost kind of exciting to be like, okay, let's see where we're at, because we want to know where every penny actually goes. And we want to make sure, hey, okay, what's coming up? And so we have that, I don't know, money discussion or money date night where we get on computers, each of us on one, and we kind of go back and forth for a little bit. And it tends to work for us, but having some type of a system is what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. A system where, you know, you mentioned the first Sunday of every month is when you do that. Other couples may choose to do this on a Wednesday date night or something, but yeah, having a system like that in place, but also having a system like Quicken or YNAB or Mint or whatever system you use to keep track of your money, such an important tool that you can utilize and share with each other.
It really, and it does, that kind of system really helps me think twice before I put down that American Express card. You know what I mean? We'll go through a credit card like that, and then we'll say, okay, so is this really you? Is this yours? Is this yours? It's like, oh boy. I'm thinking next month, I'm really going to cool a little bit on some of these face creams. That's my hot topic there.
Yeah, we all have them, right?
Yeah. Mine too. Mine's face creams too.
I'm sure. That's why you look so good and you glow. I've noticed you glow lately. I want to know your secret. Yeah. I know, Ryan and Dave, we're barely scratching the surface of this very important topic of money. And Ryan, we'd love to bring you back and share even more about marriage and money, if you'd be willing.
I would love to come back.
Yeah. Ryan, before we let you go, any kind of go-to tips, you know, any kind of fired off tips of think, okay, couples, you know, listeners, I hope that you'll do this or don't do that. Are there anything that you recommendations?
Yeah, well, I would say that having that meeting is important. So we'll go back to that one. But then a couple of things that I mentioned in conjunction with that meeting, which was going through your budget, looking at your debt, deciding how you're going to eliminate some of that debt and working towards, you know, not having that consumer debt in place. And then goals. Having shared financial goals is so important, and something that a lot of couples just don't talk about. They might talk about how they want to spend their money, or they might talk about, you know, investing a little bit. But what about setting a goal, whether it's for your kids' education, or maybe it's for retirement, or maybe it's just for the vacation next year, and how you're going to save up for that. But having those shared goals that you can come together and say, okay, this is what we're working towards. We're not just saving money for the sake of saving money, but we're trying to build up, you know, this 3-month emergency fund account. And we're trying to build up this account that will take our family to Europe next year. Whatever the case is, you're working towards those goals together. It's so empowering to do that with your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Talk about I love rewarding. That. Mm-hmm. Even we often call it like a fun financial goal. Like you said, you know, at the trip to Europe, or maybe not Europe, but maybe a trip to Disney or something. But it's out there a little ways. And so we know, okay, this is, it's almost kind of exciting. Okay, yeah, now we just put this much more away and we're going to keep building a little bit each month. And so we don't have to go into debt for the Disney or the Christmas time. It feels like a lot of people kind of get into trouble without planning ahead and having that goal like you talk about. So important.
I'll give you a little financial hack there. So that Disney trip that you're saving for, label that account Disney. So don't just have it at, you know, savings account number 7 or whatever. Have it labeled as, you know, Disney 2024 or whatever the case is. So label it that, and it helps to, it's just a little psychological hack that will help you to see like, oh yeah, this money that we're putting in this account, it's not just that we're setting it aside, but we're saving it for this Disney trip. So little tip there for the listeners.
I like that, Ryan. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Where's your best place for our listeners to find you, learn more about your resources, the things that you offer?
Yep. I'm actually building a brand new website right now. It's money-marriage.com. It is live. There's not much on there yet, but I'm adding to it quickly. So again, it's money-marriage.com. And so I'm putting finishing touches on a free training, on a course that's going to be available. There'll be financial counseling for couples. I'm adding articles, interviews, resources, different things like that. So if you go to that website, you can join an email list. It'll get you all the updates and give you updates on all of those resources that will be coming soon.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll be sure to put that link and the other things that you talked about, the little, even the YNAB, you know, I've heard you talk about that in the past. You need a budget and Mint and different resources for people to get started if they're like, man, I have no idea where to get started. So we'll put those links in the show notes.
Excellent. Yeah.
Ryan, another question for you before we wrap up. And that is, in your mind, what is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
I think the key to a stronger marriage connection goes back to something I've said a couple of times here, and it's seek first to understand. So really listen to your spouse with the intent to understand them. You're not listening with the intent to respond. You are simply listening with the intent to understand who they are, where they're coming from. And that's with money and parenting and every other category out there. I think that is really the key, is listening and then validating what they're saying as well.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And we also like to end, and this is maybe the same thing that you just talked about, that seeking to understand. As far as your takeaway of the day, you're helping couple, you have one message. Say, all right, man, couples, you know, you see a lot of people there at Utah Valley University and the work that you do. What do you recommend? What's your takeaway of the day that you hope listeners will remember?
I would say my takeaway is that you and your spouse have different money personalities. So when it comes to money and your spouse, get to know them, get to know their personalities. And then I'll just echo again, listen with the intent to understand when they're talking about money.
Yeah, love it. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day?
I love the money habitudes, that speaking of money personalities. And, you know, I can easily look at my husband, who's not very spontaneous, to say he's kind of a stick in the mud. But I think what I'm learning from you, Ryan, is that there's a reason why spontaneity is really low for him and high for me. And it doesn't mean one is right or one is wrong, but perhaps I could glean a little bit more understanding from where that comes from. Maybe that would help me be more understanding and kinder in looking at those differences. You think?
I think that's great. Yes, I love that.
Well, Dave, what's your greatest takeaway from our time today with Ryan Law?
You know, I love the things that he's talking about, because it just really rings true. And I feel like I can really relate to what he's talking about, because it's not necessarily that there's going to be differences in relationships, all kinds of differences, even money. And Liz, when you talked about that spontaneity, it's just different. It doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. And I also go back, you know, my wife and I have been married 25 years. And I think about, you know, we started with the envelope system and we just put cash in these little envelopes. We didn't have very much money at all starting out. And then we kind of learned, and then we grow, and then we tried a system, you know, and they found Quicken, and this is what we really like. But I think it comes down to just understanding, like you talked about, this just awareness, because it does something. It just raises, it helps me to have compassion, I guess, to see things from her perspective. Even if I disagree, I can see it from her perspective. And it's the question that I guess the little quote that comes to mind is, the people will do things for reasons that make sense to them. And until we can really put ourselves in their shoes and try to understand their world and their perspective, even their financial world, then it's hard. Then we get frustrated because we can't see it from their perspective. So being able to slow down and try to understand.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Ryan. That's all the time we have for this episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection. We sure appreciate you taking time to come on and talk with us. We'll have to bring you back again because we've got a lot more questions for you, Ryan.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
And remember, it's the small and simple things that create a stronger marriage connection.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.